It is good to see everyone who's out with us this evening. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to gather together with brethren and to worship and praise our God. I see visitors with us this evening. We're so glad that you're here. You truly are our honored guest. Every time you're in the area, we'd love to be able to see you again. And I would invite you and everyone else this evening to pick up your Bibles and follow along with the things that we will have to discuss. As we start, I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read a fairly lengthy reading to begin. We're going to read verse 5 down through verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 38. And we're going to see some incredible announcements made. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people." In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born to you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Luke's gospel begins in earnest after the first four verses, which explain why he's writing that gospel to Theophilus. His gospel begins in earnest with the announcements of the birth of two miraculous babies. One was going to be John, and the other was going to be Jesus. Clearly, the two are being connected there by Luke to show that they are fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And when Gabriel came and he spoke to those soon-to-be parents, they were absolutely shocked. They were stunned, and what he said about the children is absolutely amazing and filled with so much that we can discuss, and God permitting, we are going to discuss those children in the next lesson. Tonight, we want to focus on the two responses given toward the unveiling of this plan. We want to focus on the two individuals to whom Gabriel appeared and to whom he spoke. We're going to note the reactions of Zechariah and Mary. Turn your Bibles back. Let's read verses 5 and 6 once again. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It said, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." John was coming from very good stock, to say the least. He was from the tribe of Levi and a descendant of Aaron on both sides of his parentage. And that descent would have actually entitled him to the priesthood. But we know that God had very different plans for John, and we will talk about that in the future. However, I want us to consider for a few moments what was said about Zechariah and Elizabeth there in verse 6. We are told that they were righteous before God. But why were they described that way? What was it that made them righteous? Before we answer that, I think it would be a good idea to consider what the answer was not. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not considered righteous simply because Zechariah happened to be a priest. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, if you will. And we're going to notice several things said about the priests of Zechariah's time, and also our Lord's time. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21 is where we'll begin, and then we're going to go down the list of these verses. Beginning in Matthew 16, 21. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Turn a few pages there in your Bibles over to chapter 21, and let's notice verse 23. Matthew 21 and verse 23 says this, And when he, Jesus, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now let's go to the crucifixion itself. Turn to chapter 27. Let's read verses 41 and 42. Matthew 27, 41 and 42. Now, our Lord is nailed to the cross at this point. And it says, "So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.'" Many priests in Zechariah's time and in the time of our Lord were very, very far from righteous. And Jesus suffered tremendously at the hands of the priests. Every time he turned around, it seemed as though they were there to challenge him. And even when he was nailed to the cross, there they were, mocking him, making fun of him, belittling him, even as he died for their sins. And after his ascension, the apostles had to deal with these very same men as they sought to prevent the apostles from carrying on and accomplishing the work that Jesus had begun. Now, there were a lot of priests in the days of Zechariah who were about as far from righteous as they could possibly be. Let that teach us this lesson. Even religious people can be hypocrites and can present a heart, an attitude, a mindset that is far from righteous and far from holy. Brethren, no one is righteous just because they're religious. Let the priests of Zechariah's days show us that lesson. We ought also mention this. Neither Zechariah or Elizabeth were considered righteous before God because Elizabeth's parents were dedicated to the priestly service as a part of the Holy Family. Or a Holy Family, remember? She was descended from Aaron. So we're going to the very first priesthood among the Jews. So she came from good stock, but that did not make her righteous. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is a great blessing to have parents who are faithful, to have parents who are righteous, who strive to worship and serve God in a holy manner. And those of us who are fortunate enough to enjoy that blessing need to count it as the blessing it is. But we need to also understand this. No one is righteous before God merely because his or her parents are or were righteous. And so the question is, why were they counted righteous before God? And the answer was given in verse 6. They were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. Now, this text does not mean that they were perfect, that they were sinless. We're just about to see an issue that Zechariah was going to have. The text affirms they were consistent. They were trying. These were people who genuinely wanted to please God. And they were serving him to the very best of their ability. And that's why they were called righteous. That's why they were called blameless. Now, brethren, I want you to think about this for a moment. There are not a large amount of individuals in the Scriptures who are described that way by the Holy Spirit. There are not that many people who are given that sort of commendation. These two were. And that ought to tell us a great deal about them. Now, this was a very special day for Zechariah. He was chosen by lot to enter into the temple and to burn the incense. This was something that many priests never experienced in their lives. So this was an honor to him. This was an extraordinary thing. And after having read verse 6 and seeing the way he was described, we know he went in there just as humble as he could have been and glorifying in this opportunity, not in a prideful way, but in thanksgiving for the opportunity. But it wasn't very long before he recognized he wasn't in there alone. He recognized there was someone else in there with him, and it happened to be the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel had some pretty extraordinary things to say to him. He said, "You're going to have a son, Zechariah. You and Elizabeth, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John, but he's not just going to be an ordinary child. This boy is going to grow up to be great before the Lord. And he's got a task because he's going before him." I wonder if Zechariah at the moment, with so many things going through his mind, understood exactly what he was talking about. His son was going to go before him. That's talking about Jesus, to prepare the way. Amazing news. Unfortunately, for Zechariah at that moment, it also happened to be unbelievable news. Take a look back at Luke chapter 1. Let's read verses 18 through 20. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, saying, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.' Though he was a righteous man, and though he is described as blameless before God," Zechariah experienced a moment of doubt, a moment of unbelief. There were two considerations that he could not get beyond. And those two considerations were his age and the age of his wife, Elizabeth. They were not young people. And even if Elizabeth had not been barren, so there's another obstacle in the way of this, even if she had not been barren throughout their marriage, they were still too old to be able to conceive a child. That's what Zechariah thought. But Zechariah was wrong. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, back to the book of Genesis. And we're going to look at two passages there in Genesis. We're going to look at chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. And then we're going to go to chapter 18 and read 12 through 14. Genesis 17, 15 through 17 says this: "And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" Chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" See, Zechariah actually had precedent here. And if anybody should have known and recalled the example of Abraham and Sarah, it should have been a priest. No doubt he had taught on that subject more times than he could have counted. But maybe somebody says, "Well, can we not pardon him? In all honesty, can we not pardon Zechariah in this? I mean, it wasn't as though the angel appeared to him and was saying that God was going to do some piddly thing that just wasn't a big deal. I mean, what was going to happen here was a miracle. God was going to have to reach into them and change the nature of their age, their physical issues. They were beyond that. A childbearing, anyhow. And Elizabeth had never been able to have a child. Can't we kind of give them a pass? Let this instance teach us this lesson. Unbelief is always serious to God. He always takes it seriously, even when it comes from those who are righteous and faithful servants. Zechariah didn't believe it. And so Zechariah was asking for a sign, essentially saying, how am I supposed to know that God is really going to do what He said He was going to do? How am I supposed to know for certain this can even happen? His were words of doubt and of disbelief. And so Gabriel said, well, here's how you're going to know. You're not talking again until after these things have been accomplished. Now, let's travel into Galilee, to an inconsequential little place called Nazareth, where there is a young Jewish woman who also happens to be a virgin, and she too is going to be visited by Gabriel. And the news that she is going to receive is not only going to change her life forever, it was going to change the entire course of the world. Turn your Bibles with me back to Luke 1. Let's read 28 through 34 again. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. And some manuscripts will add after that, blessed are you among women. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Let's try to see this from Mary's perspective. As we already said, she was a virgin. She was betrothed to Joseph. But they had not had sexual relations, and Mary had never had those sorts of relations before. And now she's been visited by Gabriel. And Gabriel is telling her, you are going to have a son. And if what he said about John was incredible, multiply that several times in what he said about Jesus Christ. And though this child was going to be greater than she could possibly imagine at that moment, even with the description that Gabriel gave, there were going to be some significant problems for Mary. Not the least of which was possible stoning for being a supposed adulteress. But she didn't focus on that. She didn't seem to be thinking about those things. She asked Gabriel a question. She asked him, how can this be, since I have never known a man? There are some similarities there between her and Zechariah. She found the news shocking, just as Zechariah had. She recognized some very serious physical problems that seem to make this news incomprehensible, just like Zechariah had, and she did not understand upon the first hearing, just as Zechariah had not. But there are some significant differences between Mary and Zechariah as well. She did not require a sign. Mary didn't have any Abrahams and Sarahs to look back and say, there's precedent. I see there that God did this with these very famous individuals. She also knew what was being described to her was not humanly impossible. She could not be pregnant. It wasn't possible for her to be pregnant from a human standpoint. And so she asked the question, how can this be? But she was not rebuked. And she was not punished for her question. What do you suppose the difference was? I believe Mary asked because she simply wanted to know. She was trying to wrap her mind around what had been spoken to her. And so she asked what any of us would have asked. How can this be? Look again at verses 35 through 38. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel of the Lord departed. She asked, "How am I going to be pregnant?" And Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, is going to overshadow you. That will make you pregnant. That will get you with child." Now make no mistake about this, brethren. This was an extraordinary blessing for Mary, that she was chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. But let's also make no mistake about this as well. This was going to cause a world of problems for her, as she was going to face her peers. She had to know certain things. She had to know. Even as she was receiving this news, there were going to be some potential problems here. People were going to ask her, "Mary, how'd you get with child?" And she was going to say, "God." You think about that. "Mary, how'd you get to be with child? God did this to me." Really? Really? Brethren, may I suggest there was a reason the angel also went to Joseph? How many people do you think were just going to believe that? She was going to get questions, and a lot of those questioners were going to be dissatisfied with the answers she gave. She was going to be accused of being a liar. She was going to be accused of being an adulteress. Perhaps she could have been spurned by her family and her friends. And what about Joseph? Perhaps her own betrothed would just cast her aside. There was the possibility of her being run out of town, if not executed, as an adulteress. Brethren, I have no doubt that fears, apprehensions, a million questions were beginning to spin through her mind. And what did she say? "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You know what she's essentially saying there? She's saying, "Thy will be done." And that would become the constant prayer of that miraculous child she was just about to bear. I think a lot of times we don't give Mary the credit she deserves. I think I know why. Reacting against errors that are taught about her. But brethren, there was a reason she was the one chosen. There's a reason God, of all the Jewish women He could have chose her. And when we see that Spirit, can there be any question why? And so we've looked at these two different reactions from Zechariah and Mary, and there are lessons to learn. Let me suggest four lessons as we close. righteous people can experience moments of doubt. Zechariah shows us that, even moments of unbelief. And God will forgive them as they repent of that and make changes and commit to not doing it again. But even so, God expects His people to believe Him. He expects them to believe everything that He says. Zechariah had a moment of weakness, but Zechariah also said, and let us understand this, there is nothing too difficult for the God who created the heavens and the earth. If He said He was going to do it, then He is going to do it. I might also mention this, and this will come out more in the following lesson. God's constant desire is the salvation of souls. In the announcement of these two babies that were coming into the world, we're able to see everything He did was working towards man's salvation, the common everyday events, and the incredible miracles as well. And finally, there is nothing more beautiful to God than the soul that says, "Behold, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your will in every circumstance of life." May we strive to follow the example of Mary's faith, Mary's trust, and regardless of what comes our way, we will be faithful servants to our God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you've got an opportunity now to render your obedience to Christ. Believe with all your heart that He is the Messiah. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. All things are prepared this evening. The only question is, are you? If you're ready, if you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.